I am so pleased to be able to preach this to you. I want you to, I'm going to pray over you. Can I pray over you before we start? Father, I pray that every person that is in this room today and every person that is listening through the internet and every person that is going to listen through the internet, I pray that, Father, they would listen with ears to hear. I pray that we would receive the word that you have for us today. And I thank you that this word will change people's lives forever. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I got a question for you. Guys in the back, can you put that first picture up? Did you guys get, yeah, no, not that picture. No, not, that's the last picture. Okay, now, what is that? Is it one, is that a freaky creeping insect? Is that a fragment of a dog's Christmas ornament? Is it a fragment of a salami? Is it a fragment of a broken shoe? Or is that a paint spot? Okay, how many think it's, how many think that's a freaky creeping insect? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. Fragment of a dog's Christmas ornament. Okay, one. I see one. Fragment of salami. Fragment of a broken shoe. A paint spot. Okay. Now, go to the second picture. Now go to the third picture. Do you see what? Now go back to the first picture. Do you see what that is? I saw, maybe there were more of you. I saw one person thought that was a fragment of a dog's Christmas ornament. That's exactly what that is. Go to the last picture. That was something that my wife or granny purchased. I don't know why they do this, but they put this silly stuff on our dogs. If I was a dog, I would be humiliated. Amen. I ask them, I come in, I was like, why do you humiliate these dogs? You know what I mean? They're dogs, and you're going to humiliate them more by putting this stuff on them. So this got put on our newest dog. Like, we didn't have enough dogs, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm driving home, you know, about 4 months ago, and Tamara says, hey, guess what? I'm like, what? You know what I mean? We're going to get another dog. I'm like, unbelievable. So, you guys in back, you don't have a picture of Ryder, do you? Okay, if you get a picture of Ryder, put that up there. But I don't know if you have one. But anyway, here's my point. Ryder, our newest dog, is wearing that. Of course, he hates it, and he does everything to get it off. When he got it off, he tore some of this right here, which is what you saw. Show that first picture again. So last Sunday at 5:15 in the morning, I was letting the dogs out. 5:15 in the morning, I'm letting the dogs out, and it's pretty dark. I took a picture of that, but that's the flash. It's pretty dark. And I'm letting the dogs out, and I look down. That's our walkway. I look down and I see what I perceived was a freaky, creeping insect. Okay. And here's the deal. I mean, that thing looked, it looked creepy to me. It wasn't just like a, it looked, oh my, what kind of creepy, freaky thing is this? And then when I had the door open, okay, now you know what that is, right? It's like a little piece of yarn. How many know that's light? When I opened up the door, the wind caught it and it moved. I mean, no, this is freaky. You know what? So what do I do? I'm like, I don't, you know what I mean? You know what you do when you're trying to smash something? And then you know how quick these critters are, right? And so I'm like, oh my goodness. And I sneak around. And I'm thinking, and I got to go back there and get it quick. And I grab a paper towel. And then I'm like, ah, yuck, I don't want to, and thank God, you know, I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, because one of the kids left their shoe out. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, and I grab the shoe, and I go over, and I think I'm sneaking up behind it. I have hit these things so many times, and then, have you done this? And then as soon as you hit, they move. Or when you're about to hit it, they move. They create and they find some crevice. You know what I mean? You can't get them. Have you ever experienced this? But let me tell you what. I'm the man, because I'm going to sneak up behind it. And I sneak up behind it, and I got the shoe. Bam! I hit that thing solid. Solid. And I whacked that piece of yarn dead. What are you looking at? You're looking at a dead piece of yarn. That dead is yarn. Dead. Pastor, what is your point with all this? Here's my point. My point is, what you perceive is real, sometimes is not real. That is a good point, is it not? Now let me teach you even a better point. What you perceive is real will cause you to act. Are you catching this? What you perceive is real, whether it's real or not, will cause you to act a certain way. That thing, of course, the wind blew the little yarn, and it kind of, and when it blew the yarn, it was freaky because the pieces kind of went like this. I was like, this is a freaky, this isn't just an insect, this is a freaky, creeping insect. And the perception was so real that it caused me, even though it wasn't, it caused me to pick up a shoe and to swat and slap and kill a piece of yarn. Are you learning something? I want to talk today in 2010, I preached a sermon called Perceived Hardness. And Tamara will make reference to it. And in my prayer time, you know what? The Holy Spirit said, we need to preach that again. You need to teach people that. And so, you know what? My prayer, and the reason why I prayed for you, is please, 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 if you pay attention to nothing this year, please pay attention to this, because this will revolutionize your life. Let me show you. Oh, that's Ryder. Okay, that's our newest addition to the family. Like, we didn't have enough dogs, you know what I mean? But we got another one. And Ryder, beautiful dog, huh? And Ryder, and that dog we rescued from the pound, absolutely got it for free, amen, with all its shots. What a blessing, amen. We are dog blessed, okay? But he didn't like that Christmas ornament at all. Guys in the back, and listen, I'm setting some groundwork, but this is really important that you understand. There's things that you are perceiving are real, and it's causing you to act in a foolish way. You know what? It's causing you to act in a foolish way. You know what? And it's not even real. Amen. Guys, you have the video. Not the Grinch video, but the other video, the plane video. Can you show that? Watch this carefully. This takes a little time, but it's good.
Indonesia Flight 152. turn right heading 046.
Turn right heading 046, Indonesia 152.
Any second now, the controller expects to see Flight 152 turn onto final approach.
What?
The Airbus has somehow become dangerously close to the ground.
Come on! Come on! Come on!
Come to second service, you city. Do you know that didn't have to happen? That didn't have to happen. And I hate to be so graphic, but can I be honest with you? How many know picture tells 1,000 words sometimes? Can I tell you what? That is our life. That is our life. We have someone who knows the truth, and he has a perception to know the beginning from the end. And not only does he have a perception to know the beginning from the end, but he's got this incredible love for us. Can I tell you what? No one, and I mean no one, loves you more than God loves you. Amen. Jesus created you. You know what? He likes you. He likes every part of you. How many have some part you're like, I don't like this part? You know what I mean? Or I wish I had more hair. Or I wish I had fuller hair. Or I wish I had thicker hair. Or I wish my hair wasn't so thick. You do know why hairdressers stay in business, right? Because people who have straight hair, they want curly hair. Amen. And people who have curly hair, they want straight hair. Amen. Amen. But my point is that, you know what, there is this person who knows who you are, he likes who you are, he loves who you are, and he knows the beginning from the end, and he is willing to give you the perfect coordinates for your life. Amen? So, Pastor, if all that's true, how many know that's true? Raise your hand if you know that's true. Okay, come on, raise your hand if you know that's true. If we know that's true, How come many times we don't do what he tells us to do? We hear later on in this clip, maybe I'll show you the second part of it next service, but later on this clip, they take at first they can't find the boxes, but they still have the recordings from the towers. What? No, they don't have the black box. But from the control tower, they have those recordings. So they take that because the controller is saying, I told him the coordinates. I told him exactly what to do. And they looked and they saw, see, he was coming in here and I was going to have him come right around. And it made total sense. He showed it on a map exactly what he was going to do. And he said, I told him. They took the recordings that they had from the control center and they played them back. And sure enough, the air traffic man told him to turn right 056. And then the pilot repeated back to him, turn right at 056. And when that happened, the controller was free. Because he told exactly the right coordinates. The guy did and the guy repeated back what it was. So why did he do it? That's a good question, is it not? Here's a better question for us today. Why don't we do it? Can I tell you why we don't? Because we perceive that the Christian life is the hardest life. Listen to me. We perceive that the Christian life is the hard life. I can't tell you how many pastors' conference and pastors' luncheons and pastors' breakfasts. And I don't say this, certainly I won't include any names, but I can't tell you how many pastors' breakfasts and lunches and conferences I've gone to listen to pastors complain about how hard their life is. Can I tell you what? You will never, and I mean never, hear me complain about how hard my life is as a pastor here. Are you kidding me? I do this on vacation. I do this on vacation. I do this whether you paid me or whether you didn't pay me. Amen. And for 10 years, you know what I mean? Tamara and I aren't doing this for money. We're doing this because God called us here. Amen. And when the church couldn't afford not one, I'm not talking about not one full-time employee, we said, who cares? You know what I mean? I got a good part-time job in Albertsons, and I'll continue to work at Albertsons and figure it out. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. Why? Here's why. Because I understand, you know what? The Christian life isn't the hardest life. The Christian life is the most easy life. See, some of you don't even know to say amen to that. Because you've been just so taught wrongly. Please let me say it again. If there's any day that you pay attention to a sermon, today's the day that you need to pay attention to this sermon. Because this sermon, if you understand what I'm talking about, it'll change your life forever. Think about it. Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says he doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. He's present in our life because he hates us. We are born in the image of God. Understand why God hates us, why Satan hates us so much. Satan said, I'll be like the Most High God. Don't think there's a big, don't think it was like a big wrestling, you know, like a big wrestle. Ooh, God, and Satan, and ooh. No, it wasn't like that. The Bible tells us, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He thought he was going to exalt himself. God said, I'm having none of this. And boom, he fell like lightning. That's what it was. Amen? And you were born in the image of God. The image of the one who threw Satan out of heaven. And God has his affection completely, totally towards man. So because of that, just because you exist, Satan hates you. And he knows that God loves you. And so anything he can do to cause your life full of misery, he just thinks that's great. Now think about this for a minute. Have you ever had anybody that you hated? Oh, I don't know what to say. All right, I just pretend I know the answer, okay? Have you ever tried to get back at someone? Come on, somebody tell the truth. You ever tried to get back at someone? Imagine if you were trying to get back at someone, what would might be some good tactics? You know, well, here, I came up with some good ones real quick. It didn't take me long to figure it out. I thought, you know what? If I was trying to get back at somebody and they were, maybe they didn't know, you know what? I would tell them, hey, or maybe they know. I'd tell them, hey, guess what? They changed the rules. Red means go. And green means stop. How many know that would be a good way to get back at someone? Here's another good one. If I was trying to get back with someone, I might tell them, milk will like kill insects. And arsenic is good to mix with cocoa. Come on, somebody. Can you think of some good ones? No, don't let it even try. Here's my point. What does Satan do? Here's what he does. He says, good is bad, and bad is good, and easy is hard, and hard is easy. And by convincing you that, you know what, and he, for most people, he can't convince them to disassociate themselves from the family of God. For most of them. But what he does do very successfully is he convinces you just a little bit at a time, 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 and you get to the place where you start thinking, you know what, in a, sometimes it's just way back in the mind, but it will come out where you start to think that the Christian life actually is a hard life. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. I've heard so many people, you know, so many Christian people complain about their life. And one of the areas where it goes to complaining is particularly, you know what, that they have a hard life because they're a Christian. So I want to really deal with that subject today, and I won't take a long time, but if you get this, it'll change your life forever because it'll change how you think. When you change how you think, you change how you act. And if you think wrong, even though it's not real, you will go and take a shoe and you will kill a piece of yarn. Amen. Some of your life, you're crashing. And you're not crashing because you don't have the coordinates. You're not crashing because you don't have the coordinates. You have the coordinates. Some of you can even repeat the verse. I said some of you can even repeat the verse. But ultimately, you really don't believe that God has the best life for you. So when it comes down to really functioning, what happened in that cockpit? I don't know. But I tell you, something happened. That pilot did something that, I tell you, the truth is, whatever happened, that pilot did not do what that air traffic controller told him to do. Because had he done it, you know what? He would have came, you know what, just like he said, and it would have been perfect. In that video, the air traffic controller is watching, waiting for the guy to turn at the cordons, and he never turns. And some of you never turn. And it's not because God hasn't told you what is good, it's just because in your mind you perceive. You know what the bottom line is? Can I be honest with somebody? Can we go a little deeper? Can we go a little deeper? There is a, when it comes down to it, you really think you know more than God. The Bible says pride comes before a fall. And so it's your pride that you're going to override. That pilot overrid what the air traffic controller told him, did he not? We don't know exactly why, but we know he did. And at some point in time, how many know we're just like that pilot? At some point in time, we get a clue. We come out of the clouds. How many know when he got through where he could see, he saw, oh my goodness. But what was it? It was too late at that point in time. How many ever did the opposite of what God told you to do? How many ever did that? How many ever came out of the clouds? Amen. And you recognize, oh my goodness. Amen? Oh, my goodness. All right. Are you guys ready for this? You guys learned some stuff already? All right. Why do so many Christians think that God's life, that the God life, I call it the God life, is a hard life? Why do they think that? Well, that's an easy answer. Because Satan is a liar. How many know Satan's a liar? Look at up here on the screen. Look at John chapter 8, verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He, speaking of the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Why do Christians think that the Christian life is the hardest life? Here's why: because they're listening to Satan's lies. He's lying to them, and he's lying to you. And what is Satan's end game? What's he trying to do? What's he trying to get you to do? Here's what he's trying to get you to do. He's trying to get you to not be obedient to God. Why? Because he hates you. You might not know it, but Satan knows God's ways is the best ways. And so if Richard follows God's ways, he's going to have an awesome life. If Connie follows God's ways, she's going to have an awesome life. If Tamara follows God's ways, she's going to have an awesome life. If George follows God's ways. So Satan is going to try to get, you know what, Connie, Richard, Tamara, George, you, to try to not do what God says. How is he going to do it? Here's how he's going to do it. He's going to throw a lie at you that God's ways are hard ways. Are you catching this? Understand, Eve didn't just get up one morning and say, you know what, I want to die today. No, Eve didn't do that. Eve was deceived. Somebody say deceived. That's what happens to us. We get deceived by listening to Satan's lie that the Christian life is the hard life. No, listen to me. The Christian life is the easy life. I said the Christian life is the easy life. I said you guys don't even know. I'm telling you what I know. It's such an underlining, and we know the right thing to say. We don't say, oh, God, Christian life, the hard life. But when I say the Christian life is the easy life, I barely get an amen from anybody. Can I tell what's going on? I know what's going on. What's going on is down deep, we really don't believe that. Amen. Amen. How many know the Bible says you have many teachers, but you don't have many fathers? How many know one of my role is I have a perception? Guys, it's just a position. God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. But how many know sometimes somebody else can see something you can't see? Amen. You know, that's why you have a hitting coach. Why, you know, you talk about the Dodgers, they got all these great hitters. Why do they have a hitting coach? Because the hitting coach can see something that they can't see. Amen? They got a hitting coach. They got a pitching coach. Why? Have you ever seen, you know what, a pitcher and he's doing, you know, this guy is a good pitcher. And all of a sudden, you know, the Dodgers will call a timeout and they have the pitching coach go out. Does anybody know who the pitching coach for the Dodgers is? Honeycutt, Rick Honeycutt. No, he's not the pitching. No, he's the hitting coach. Who's the pitcher? Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. We'll look it up on the internet later. Here's the point. The point is that the manager won't go out. The pitching coach will go out, and he'll go out. And you know how stupid they are. So dumb. Okay. What is he telling him? If you guys who don't know what I'm doing, in baseball, I don't know why. They never used to do this when I was a kid, but now they're like, oh, they're all hip. So they'll talk, but they'll put their glove over their mouth so somebody can't see what they're saying. What is he saying? He's saying, here, you know what? You're doing that again. You know what? You lift your leg and you have your leg up too much and it throws off the balance. Get your leg a little bit more to the right. And that and the pitching coach will go in. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, boom, strike one, strike two, strike three. What happened? That great pitcher just can't see it. Can I tell you what? God can see some things you can't see. Amen. And listen to me. And he sends fathers spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers to you to point out things you can't see. It just happened, guys. You know why when I say the Christian life is the best life, I don't get hardly any amens? Here's why. Because there's this underlining current that you really think the Christian life is really the hard life. That's what's going on. And that's what we're going to change today by the word of God. I'm going to cut that, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the word, I'm going to cut that right out today. Somebody pay attention to where we're going. Amen. I'm going to show you in the word of God that the Christian life is the best life. You know how many passages talk about the goodness of God and us walking in the victory if we'll do what he says? Oh my goodness. The word is just filled with all these passages. You have heard it said, you know this passage? You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you, that you might be sons of your Father in heaven. Oh, it's so hard to forgive. That person burned me so bad. It's so hard. It's so hard to forgive them. You don't know, Pastor. And then you want to argue with me. You don't know what they did to me. Perceived hardness. Can I tell you what's hard? What's hard is for you to hold on to that bitterness. That's what's hard. God is trying to bless you. He's trying to throw you a lifeline. He's trying to rescue you from what others are going to tell you. They're going to talk about that person and talk about and remind you and say, you know, you're justified. And you know what? Nobody should have to endure this. It's so hard. And you know what? You should have dumped him, you know what, 8 years ago. And you should have, you know, thrown her overboard, you know what, 4 years ago. And you know what? And she don't love you and he don't love you and all this stuff. And you know what? And you don't deserve that. And on and on and on and on. And Jesus is trying to rescue you, and you are so caught up in it, you think it's a hard thing. And Satan is laughing as you don't follow the cordons of what the controller told you to do. And you're going to come out of the clouds, and when you come out of your clouds, you know what? I want you to get that word picture of that guy trying to get that thing to climb. And he can't. It's too late. And Satan does it to us all the time. That's why Jesus says in John 10:10, I've come to give you life more abundantly. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. It's why I quote that verse over and over and over again in 1 John, that God's commandments are not burdensome. Well, why do I quote that all the time? Because I'm coming against this perceived hardness. Are you learning something? Psalm 72:18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. Say, God only does wondrous things. That's all he ever does. He only does wondrous things. I want you to look. I'm going to go over some passages. I want you to look at what God, look at what he will do if we trust him. Look at what God will do if we trust him. Jeremiah, you know the scripture. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Let's stop right there. This is God saying, hey, I know what I think. How many know all kinds of people think they know what God thinks? And God, in trying to come against wrong thinking, he points this out in Jeremiah. He says, hey guys, I know what I think towards you. Don't tell me that I don't love you. Don't tell me that I don't care for you. Don't tell me that I don't forgive you. Don't tell me that I hold a grudge. Don't tell me any of that. Because let me tell you what, I'm the Lord and I know how I think. How many know God knows how he thinks? And he doesn't need our friends or our neighbors or our relatives to tell us how he thinks. We need to understand. We need to get what God thinks from his words himself. Amen? Amen. And God says, I know how I think towards you. They're thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you a future and a hope. Look, your neighbor said, God has a future for you. And listen, and that future is filled with hope. It's not evil. It's not misery. It's not depression. It's not any of that stuff. God has a good life for us. And God says, stop judging me and telling me how I think. I know how I think. And I know how I think towards you. And I love you. And I care about you. And I got a good future for you. That's what God says today. Amen. His ways are the best ways. Amen. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, then you'll suffer through life, but at some point in time, when you go to heaven, then it'll all get better. Is that what it says? It's not what it says. Let's just read the Bible. Let's understand God. Let's stop thinking the Christian life is the hard life. Let's start to recognize the Christian life is the best life. Amen. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. There are positive consequences for you having a good attitude and doing what God says. What is it? You're going to eat the good of the land. Amen. John 10:10. You know what? We quoted it, but I want you to see it. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life that you might have it more abundantly. One version said that you might have life to the full. Amen. Listen, this is just Jesus talking. I'm being sarcastic. How many know God knows theology? God knows what he thinks. He says it again here. My will is that you have this abundant life. That's why I came. Don't confuse the two. Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Not me. I came to give you a full life. Amen? Look at it again. Another passage. Oh! Do you hear the God of God? Do you hear the heart of God? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see God is good. You know what he's saying? He's saying, guys, check it out. Do what I tell you to do. When he says taste and see, what does he want you to do? He's saying, try it. Try it. How many know sometimes Tamara wants me to try stuff? Amen. Right? Sometimes I try stuff. I like spit it out. I'm like, oh, it's awful. Why don't you give me that? Amen? She makes me this pizza. Takes all day. Amen? But this pizza is so good because it's healthy for you. It's made with a cauliflower crust. Amen? Ooh, it's so good. I helped her. Yesterday, we're making it. You know what? It's getting later and later and later and later. But you know what? Then, boom, I took a bite of it. I'm like, oh, God is good. Amen. I'm like, oh, Tamara's good. Amen. You know what? Well, why did I say that? Because if she would have told me, well, this is a perfect example. If she told me, you know what? You know, Drew, she doesn't call me Pastor. Well, sometimes she calls me Pastor Drew. But anyway. You know, a rose is still in any other, and a name still a rose. Amen. So whatever she calls me. But you know what? And she said, hey, Drew, taste this pizza. It's made out of cauliflower. How many know what I'm going to do? No. I tasted your stuff before, and I'm not tasting it again. It's boom. Right? Taste it. Be obedient to God. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to see the goodness of God in your life. You're going to look and go, oh, that's good. Wow, that's good idea. Look at your neighbor and say, it's good to do what God tells you to do. That's what he's saying. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts him. I said, blessed is the man who trusts him. I said, blessed is the man who trusts him. I said, blessed is the man who trusts him. You want to be blessed? Do what God says. Stop thinking you're so smart. Stop overriding God. Just do what he says. Just eat the cauliflower pizza. It's good. Amen. Are you learning something? The Bible, listen, how we ever started to think that the Christian life is the hard life, you know what? I will never know. Because I spent about 30 seconds coming up with all these passages. Just boom, boom, boom in my head. Look at this passage. This is just in another version that I wanted you to see. Taste and see the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. See, God wants you to live a life filled with joy and peace and comfort. Are you learning something? Oh, this is so good. Again, let's just listen to Jesus. Let's just listen to Jesus today. Oh, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. Amen. Let me tell you how we turned the hardest life is the Christian life. We listen to the enemy who's telling us good is bad and bad is good. And Jesus is saying, listen, are you tired? Do you feel like giving up? Are you like, with life? You're like, here. Just turn to me. And let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you rest. Amen. Amen. I will give you rest. Then look what else he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What's your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions. You know what? How many live on a roller coaster? You know what I mean? You're like, life's good. Life's bad. Oh, I love life. Oh, I hate life. Oh, I love my spouse. Oh, I hate my spouse. Oh, I love my family. Oh, I hate my family. You mean? Oh, you know what I mean? You're like, man, get off it. Get off the roller coaster. Look what he says. God says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. Let me tell you what to do. Learn. Learn my ways. Learn how I think. Start to think how I think. Learn about me. For I am gentle and lonely heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for your will, for your mind, for your emotion. That's what your soul is. Ladies, you're not called to be, you know what, calm one day and wacky the next. Some of you are like, ladies, why'd you say ladies? Why'd you say ladies? See what I'm talking about there? I'm just illustrating my point. Who you? Calm down, amen. Calm down. I'm going to get to the men. Don't worry about it. Hey, men, you know how many sometimes we're like that? You know what I mean? You know what? We do the dinosaur walk coming in. You know what I mean? Like, you know, had a bad day. Right? You're like, ooh. See, ladies, I told you I'd get down, amen. I'm just saying, you know what, men, we can be emotionally too. We're not called to do that. We're called to be consistent. All of us are called. Men are called to be consistent. Women are to be called consistent. Are you learning something? You know what? And you think that the hard life is the Christian life. The hard life is the easy life. The hard life is the Christian life is the good life. You've been deceived. You've been lied to. For look at it. For my yoke is easy and my burden. Come on, somebody preach to me. Amen. My burden is what? My burden is what? My burden is what? My burden is what? My burden is light. I'm just teaching you what God taught you. Doesn't say those who are willing and obedient are going to have a hard life. It says we are going to eat the fat of the land. That's what the Bible says. And we've been convinced. You know what? Oh, it's so hard to be. It's so hard to be. Shutteth thou uppeth. Amen. That's so dumb. Listen. It's so unbiblical to what the Bible says about the Christian life. I didn't say you weren't going to have challenges. But I'm going to teach you in a minute what the challenges are. The challenges are not that you're going to have a hard life. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show it to you. The challenge is for you to override your non-intelligence and do what the controller is telling you to do. That's the hardness. Why in the world do I always talk about the goodness of God? Always talk about the goodness of God. Always talk about the goodness of God. You know why? Because. You know what? When I was working in Baldwin Park, got transferred. Was up, you know what, in this area because the managers wouldn't transfer me. You know, they got 58,000 things to do. They weren't going to try to get me transferred. So what did I do? I came up here. I went to San Gabriel. I went to Temple City. I went to all kinds of places. And they said, no, we don't need. And then I, you know, I'm just looking on a map of all the Luckies in this area. Oh, there's one in Baldwin Park. I go to Baldwin Park, you know what? And that manager said, yes, you know what? If you're okay it from Newport Beach, I'll transfer you up here. People would walk in the store, you know what? And they would recognize I'm new, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, go to the grocery store, you see the same people all the time. You know what I'm talking about? And then they saw me, and they're like, who's this guy? And then he goes, are you new? Did you just get hired? I said, no, I got transferred. Oh, then the obvious question, where did you get transferred for? I got transferred for Newport Beach. And they'd be like, you're an idiot. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, well, why did you do that? Here's why I knew. Because I knew if I was willing and obedient, I'd eat the fat of the land. Amen. Amen. See, listen, the blessing isn't in a place. The blessing is in a person. Amen? And all I had to do is just be obedient to what he told me to do. That's why I came up here. And God knew what was best for me. I needed, you know, I needed to be under Pastor Bradford. Pastor Bradford, his wife Beverly said, he was kind of a hybrid between Winnie the Pooh and Adolf Hitler. I tell you what, he was so gracious and so kind, but I'm telling you what, he was so adamant about things had to be right. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you why you see excellence in this church and virtually every place that you look. Let me tell you why you see excellence in the church, because Pastor Bradford, that's why. Amen. Amen. And I needed that. That's what I needed. And God knew what I needed. See, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the fat of the land. We need to change our thinking. Well, what did Israel do? Israel's like, ooh, you know what I mean? Imagine this. And before you criticize Israel, just recognize in about 30 seconds, I'm going to turn that on you. Amen? So I'm just telling you that. Because that's what Israel did. They were like, oh, you know, they're slaves. They're free. They get set free from slavery. Amen? You'd think somebody who gets set free from slavery would be grateful, would you not? It's like, oh, let me tell you what. Well, they're out in the desert. Listen, we're out in the desert, but at least we're not slaves anymore. Amen? Right? But see, they're questioning the goodness of God. That's why I always talk about the goodness of God. Because you have to understand God is a good God. If you understand that, then it's easier to be obedient to what he asks you to do. Amen?
Amen?
So they get delivered from slavery. They get delivered from slavery. And you know what they accuse God of? They say, God, let me tell you what you did. You brought us out here to kill us and to kill our and to kill us. And then you're going to take, and then the enemy is going to take our kids and our wives back into slavery. God's like, I'm sorry, what? It's interesting because we think that we can just say anything and God won't be offended. When you question God, you're offending him. And when we're disobedient to what God is telling us to do, we're questioning his goodness. We're questioning his intelligence. We're questioning, you know, that's what they did. And they did it over and 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 over again, 10 times. And after that 10 times, God just said, okay, okay, enough. And that generation died in the wilderness, having never gone into the land flowing with milk and honey. What was God's plan? Well, we don't have a crystal ball, but we have history, so we can fast forward and see what God's plan is. Here's what God's plan was. Imagine this. Tell me how hard this is. Richard, tell me how hard this is. This is God's plan for the Israelites, to go in and to conquer their enemy. Why? Here's why. Because God says in Deuteronomy, I want you to live in houses and enjoy everything in the house, and you didn't put it in any there. How many like to go into a house that's already furnished? I mean, how many would like to go into the house that Tamara furnishes? They would. When we were apartment managers, you know what? They'd come in, the people who wanted an apartment, they'd come, that, you know, because they, you know, would say, hey, I'm sorry, just can you wait a minute? And the door would be open. Sometimes they'd walk in. Sometimes they could just see. And Tamara, even though it was just a small two-bedroom, one bath, small little apartment, said, Gabriel, our apartment was beautiful. And they'd walk in and they'd look at our apartment and then would show them the apartment. And then when would show them the empty apartment, they'd say, do you have one like yours? See, you know what God wanted? God wanted these people not only to have houses, but wanted them to have furnished houses. Amen. When they'd open the refrigerator, and the refrigerator would be full of stuff. Yeah. Amen? They wanted them, you know what God wanted them? God wanted them to not have to dig the well. You ever dig? You recognize how, you know what, in our house we have sprinklers and it wasn't getting enough water, so I put a whole new line in. Well, the line, it's kind of like this. It's kind of just like this, but it's longer. So it was this summer, and I started over here, and when I dug over here, I dug the proper height. So those sprinklers are now right down next to the grass the way they should be. But as I came over on this way, the more I came on this way, you can go to my house and see this, the more I come on this way, the higher the sprinklers get. You know why they got higher and higher and higher? Because I got more tired and more tired and more tired. So over here, I was like, okay, I know it's got to be 12 inches, you know, maybe, but over here, I'm like, that's good enough. And then over here, I was like, it'll be good. It's not good. Amen. I should have rested. Amen. Do you know that the more you dig, the harder it gets, the deeper it gets? God says, I don't want you to have to do that. That was God's plan. Now, I'm going to teach you the hardness. Are you guys still paying attention? Here was the hardness. The hardness was to do the crazy plan. The hardness isn't to enjoy the house. See, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the fat of the land. Let me tell you what, God wants you and I to have a good life.
Amen.
He wants us to have a good life. The hardness is when he tells us, here was the hardness. Here was the hardness, ready? The first city, it was walled up. It was secure. It was militarily invincible. But God's smarter than them. God's supernatural. So here's the plan. Here's his plan. Okay, so God talks to his man, Joshua. And then here's the hardness. Joshua, now do that crazy plan. What's the plan? Here's the plan. Tell me how hard this is. And you're going to enjoy all the ramifications of the spoils. And here's the plan. Walk around Jericho. Day one, walk around Jericho. Day two, walk around Jericho. Three, four, five, six, seven. Watch it. And when you're walking around, keep your mouth shut. That's the hardness. Don't think you know more than God. Don't override his plan. Don't tell your friends, you know what, how hard this is. Just do what God said. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. And the seventh day, blow a bunch of horns and shout, ah! And then watch what happens. Amen? When the walls come tumbling down, when the walls come tumbling down. Right? Boom. See, what does God want? God wants the same in your life. How many know the Israelites were crazy, foolish to not do what God told them to do? All right, I'm going to close with this. Are you ready? Listen to me. No, listen to me. Listen to me. Now let's bring it on home. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just take three areas quickly. Let's just take three areas that you know what you've probably said. Oh, it is so hard. It's so hard. Let's just take those three areas. Amen. You know what? Have you ever thought? Be honest. You ever thought you don't have time enough to pray? See, I told you I know what I'm talking about. Has anybody ever thought that? I don't have time enough to pray. Come on, somebody tell the truth here. I don't have time enough. I don't have time to do that. You know what? What is Isaiah? You guys have it in the, do you guys got this stuff in the back? Isaiah, I took a picture of this. Isaiah 26:3. You know what it says? It says, in the presence of God is perfect. Oh, here it is. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. You know what? You know when my day is peaceful? When I get up in the morning and I'll pray. Amen. And I'll pray and I'll just be with God and my mind is set towards him, and I just think, my mind is, I feel in perfect peace. Why? How many would like perfect peace? And listen, don't perceive that praying is hard. Don't perceive getting up 15, 20, 30, half an hour early is hard. Stop, you know, listen. You know how many people are stressed out? I mean, go to doctors and they give you pills and give you this and give you that, and it still doesn't even work. How many of the Bible promises? No, God's got a good life for you.
Amen.
Amen? How many ever thought, oh, you know what? I can't afford to give. You know, how many know generosity? Sometimes we think, oh, it's so hard. It's so hard to be generous. It's so hard to write that check. It's so hard to, you know, I can't afford it. Perceived hardness. 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who spares sparingly, he who sows sparingly will what? Reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will what? See, God's got a good blessing for you. Amen? But your perception that you can't is the very thing that is keeping you from eating the good of the land. Are you hearing me? It's the very thing. God's plan. Listen, what do you got to do? All you got to do is just do what God asked you to do. You'll eat the fat of the land. The reason why you are so... The issue is for many people is they just sow sparingly. And because they sow sparingly, they reap sparingly. Amen? Amen? You know... Barna says less than 10%. Listen, less than 10%, 10 to 12%. Barna recently said this, statistically found this out. 10 to 12 Christians tithe. 10 to 12 Christians, 10 to 12%. Which means, you know what that means? 90 to 8 to 89, 88% don't tithe. Amen? You think, oh, I can't afford it. You know what? Really, you can't afford not to. Amen? Amen? And listen, and that perceived hardness is the very thing that is keeping you from walking in the blessings that God wants you to walk in. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. And then we get upset at the preacher for telling us what we need to hear. Amen? You know what I mean? It's like the pitching coach, you know what I mean? Goes out, tells the pitcher, and the pitcher, and can you imagine this? The pitcher just hits him, boom! I know what I'm doing. I pitch better than you. You missed the whole point. What about reading your Bible? You ever heard? You ever thought, you know what? It's so hard, man. I don't have time to read my Bible every day, Pastor. Every day. I can't do it. Imagine this. I'll close with this. Imagine this. This room is dark. This room is dark. The light switch is here. It's dark. Imagine it's dark. Light switch is here. And imagine, and Tamara and I are coming in, and she says, honey, turn the light switch on. And I say this. I don't have time to turn the light switch on. How many of I said, I don't have time to know that? You'd think, come on, Pastor. How many were like, that's foolishness? You know the Bible says, the word of God is a lamp into your path, a light into your feet. Amen. You have no idea the time that you would save by turning on the light. Some of you in your marriages, it's totally darkness, and you just keep on bumping. You keep on, some of you in your finances, you just keep on bumping. Some of you in all kinds of areas in your life. You know what? You're just so upset. You don't have the full life that God wants you to have. And you've been convinced that God doesn't have the way to teach you how to do it. He does have the way. He is the way. And he's willing to teach you, train you, show you, instruct you, tell you how to fix your life. And then we got pastors who talk about how hard the Christian life is. Well, after all, the Bible says, wide is the way to go to destruction, and many are those who go, but few are those. Oh, see, it's so few, it's so hard. Listen, if only three people want to go to Magic Mountain with me, I don't care. Amen. I'm still going to go to Magic Mountain with three people. Do you understand? Don't confuse the lack that not many people do it with the lack of who cares. They're all going the wrong way. Amen. And the sad thing is, many Christians are going the wrong way too. Why? Because they haven't been convinced. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. Amen. That is the truth. Tamara.
Pastor said early on, we think we know better than God. That seems ludicrous that we would think that. But how many of you know we do that just almost instinctively? That we just, even though we wouldn't say it, we walk it out that way. Does that make sense? Anyone else? Just me? I'll never forget when we were here our first couple years and God was, I would pray, this makes no sense. So I get that when I tell you what I'm going to tell you, I know you're going to go, why would, I'm like one of the people in the Bible where you go, why would they do that? That's because we have to be really on point to make sure we're not like those people. That's why God gave it to us, right? Because it's almost natural for us to be foolish. I don't know what that is, but we have a natural tendency to just think that we know more than God. So we were here in our first couple of years, and I would take the Home Depot used to have, I don't know if any of you remember this, it was like a little pamphlet like the Penny Saver used to be. And they had a book, and that had all their sales in there for the month, I guess. I don't know if they did that thing weekly. But at the back of it, it had all the Home Depot stores, like in this region. And I would take that book, and I would pray, because we would need something, and I would ask God, God, we need some doors. Where do I get them? And he would direct me to one of those Home Depots. And I'd go there, and I'd get those doors. And it was awesome because they didn't give to churches, but they always gave to me. It was just God. And so after walking that out and experiencing that time and time again, one day I asked God, I said, God, I want some brick. Could I have some brick? I don't need it, but I sure would like it so that I could cover up all these ugly metal poles. Within a week, I had 15 pallets of brick being donated, dropped off right over here by the trash can. I had experienced just the goodness of God time and time and time again. So when we were doing the foyer over there and we tore the bathrooms all apart and I was laying that porcelain tile floor over there and I didn't want to put the old crunky toilets back in, and I didn't want to put the old crunky vanity back in, and I kind of didn't think it out enough ahead of time as we were laying the floor and we were getting to the point where we were grouting. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, am I going to drag that old beat up vanity back in here? I didn't even think about that. So I'm like, God, I need some vanities. I need some toilets. Where do I go? And I heard the Lord so clearly. He said, El Monte. Now, I said, no, Lord, El Monte does not have any donation money. Where should I go for the toilets and the vanity? And he said, El Monte. I said, Lord, they don't have no donation money. Now, that's another story. I had talked to that manager, and I knew that the store wasn't doing well. It was a grand opening that they had just had, and it wasn't doing really well. And their donation money was... it comes right from how they're doing in their sales as to how much they have. So I said, no, Lord, they don't have any. And then he said, El Monte. And I said, Lord, let me show you. Literally, I said that. Lord, let me show you. And I picked up the telephone, and I called El Monte, and I knew the manager over there. His name was Adrian. And I said, hey, Adrian, I was wondering... I needed some toilets and some vanities. I said, you know what, can I come over there and get those? And then he said, yeah, just shoot me a letter what you need. And I was stunned because I was about to show God how they didn't have nothing. I said, oh, okay. And then he said, yeah, just shoot me a letter. I said, okay. So I hung up the phone and I'm like, okay, God, you know better than I do. And surely he always does, doesn't he? He always knows better than us. But look at that. I mean, here I'm trying to tell God, after experiencing everything I had experienced, I think God's making a mistake. And I said, God, no, not that store. I was the expert on Home Depots at this point, wasn't I? You know what? God is a good God. And if we'll just let him be God in our life, sometimes we think we're the expert on our feelings, on our finances, on our family, on ourselves many times, but we're not. We get into a lot of trouble. If we would just do one thing, I think it would help us overcome that tendency to try and tell God. And many of us don't verbalize it, but we tell him by our actions. When he tells us to do something, and instead of doing what he's asking us to do, we just do what we think is best. And so whether we verbalize it or not, you know what? We are telling him that by not doing what he asks us to do. But if we would just be a grateful people like God told us. Pastor said, you know, many times we don't do it. Why don't we do it? Because we really don't believe that God is a good God. If we knew that it was our interest that he had at heart, that it's us that he's trying to bless us. He tells us that all over his word. I don't know why we can't like get it through our cranium. He tells us. There's a scripture in Thessalonians. Listen to this. See if this describes who you are. Always be rejoicing and give thanks for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Is that who you are? Because if that was us, if we were always rejoicing and always giving thanks, if we were just a more grateful people for that which we have, if we would understand how blessed we are, we would be way quicker to just be able to do what God tells us to do. But we take for granted much of what we have. We are not as thankful of a people as we should be. I've heard people say, and you've probably heard it too, I don't really have anything to be thankful for. And they're, you know what, and they're talking about, you know what, quite frankly, it probably really comes down to material things because, you know what, they're very healthy people. Isn't that something to be thankful for, that you have your health? There are people who have families who love them, and then they'll say, I don't really have anything to be thankful for. See, we're just not a grateful enough people. If we would begin to understand how blessed we are, we would understand the God that we serve is a blesser. A lot more than us. We just take things for granted. And we don't recognize how good God is and how good he's already been to us.
Amen. If God spoke to you in some way and you need to acknowledge that, you need to even repent of a hard perception in some way, little or big. Sometimes the Bible says it's a little leaven leavens the whole loaf, and we don't recognize we've got to get rid of all of it quickly. But if that's you, I want to pray with you, and I want you to raise your hand right now. Father, you see the hands up all over the room. Father, we ask for forgiveness. Say, God, forgive me. And the times that I have perceived, you don't have to repeat this part, in the times that I have perceived hardness, and you are not that, I ask for your forgiveness. Father, help my mind to be renewed, that you are a good God, that your ways are higher than my ways. Help me to always be quick to obey and to put my trust in you. Perfect peace I'll find, though, for those whose mind is stayed on God and who put their trust in him. Father, we put our trust in you today. I thank you for every person who's here today and their willingness to come to church and come hear the word of God and come praise you. I speak a blessing over them. I thank you for a good day, a good week, a good month, a good Christmas season. I thank you for your goodness. And I speak them whole from the top of their head to the bottom of their toes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.